Welcome to this special occasion when we again remember the death of Jesus Christ. You're probably familiar with the historical account of Jesus' suffering and death. That's what we remember on Good Friday. But we have to go beyond those historical facts and uncover the Bible's interpretation of those facts. Remember, the Bible is composed of writings given from God Himself. He used his human servants to write down the exact truth about himself. And the Bible has a lot to say about Jesus' sufferings. It often describes Jesus' death and what it accomplished by speaking of his blood. What's the significance of Jesus' blood? Was it magical blood? No, it was simply human blood. So what's so special about his blood? Let's answer that today by talking about the Passover lamb. Notice how Mark in his gospel introduced the events leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. Mark 14, verse 12. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" This is a big hint from Mark. He's pointing us toward the significance of what's about to happen in his account. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's see what the Passover lamb was originally all about. First of all, the blood of the Passover lamb rescues people from death. About 1400 years before Christ's death, God used Moses to deliver the nation of Israel from Egyptian slavery. The Lord God had poured out supernatural plagues on the stubborn Egyptians. And in Exodus 12, we find God promising one final plague in which he would slay all the firstborn of man and beast in Egypt. And that would finally convince Egypt to let Israel go. But Israel was in danger too. Death would come to their households unless they followed God's instructions. He warned the Israelites to select a flawless lamb, kill it, and place its blood on the top and sides of their doorways. Listen to the Lord's words here, Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 through 13. He says, "For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." When the Lord saw the blood of a lamb, he passed over that residence. That's where the word Passover comes in. Now return to the time of Jesus. The night before his death, Jesus transformed, or we could say he showed the deeper meaning of the Passover feast. The Jews used it to celebrate deliverance from slavery and death in Egypt through a lamb's bloody death. And now Jesus used the feast to picture the deliverance which he would provide through his own bloody death. Matthew 26, verses 27 through 28. We find Jesus at what we call the Last Supper with his apostles. It says, "And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins.'" Forgiveness of sins. Sin is the contradiction of God's character and laws. The Bible says that we are all sinners and that the penalty for sin is death. But notice, by pouring out his blood, Jesus says he provides forgiveness. And forgiveness of sin delivers us from the death penalty. Remember what the angel told Joseph before Jesus was ever born about who Mary's son would be. Matthew 1, 21 through 23. "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Only God with us, God become man, could pay the penalty of our sin, which is death. He had to be an innocent, perfect man to be able to pay for the sins of other people. He had to be Almighty God to be able to suffer in the place of countless sinners. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul tells us that Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. What does this Passover sacrifice accomplish? Well, it saves us from God's wrathful judgment of eternal death, yes. But that is because it saves us from the guilty verdict which our sins deserve. It's not just saving us from some tragic but haphazard death. It's saving us from a death we deserve because of our sins. In John 1, verse 29, we have recorded the words of John the Baptist when he saw Jesus. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." You see, the Passover lamb and the other lambs sacrificed by the Jewish nation were substitutes for those offering the sacrifices. The sin, the guilt of a human sinner, was transferred to an innocent lamb, and that lamb was killed. The death penalty was paid. So it is with Jesus, God's Lamb slain for sinners. Our sins can be transferred to Him. His death will take them away. Ephesians 1:7, the Apostle Paul writes, "In Him, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace." In order to obtain this forgiveness, we must come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 21 through 25, Paul says, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law," apart from us keeping the law of God for ourselves. "The righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets," the Old Testament, "bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith." It says we're all sinners, but we can all be justified, declared righteous by God in God's court of justice. Justified by God's grace as a gift because of what Jesus did to redeem sinners. The redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation. God made Christ Jesus a propitiation, a sacrifice that satisfies God's righteous wrath against sin. To be received by faith, it says. As I said, to justify someone is to declare them righteous. God declares us righteous when we receive Jesus' blood sacrifice in faith. Justification rescues us sinners from death, but it's received through faith. We must respond to Jesus by throwing ourselves on His person and work. We must entrust our lives to Him, trusting Him to take away our guilt and give us eternal life. So we're not even trusting in our faith itself as something that merits anything with God. We're simply throwing ourselves through faith on Jesus. The book of the Revelation pictures this as washing your robes in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Revelation 7, verses 13 through 14. "Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'These who are clothed in the white robes, who are they and where have they come from?' I said to him, 'My Lord, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" So John sees a vision of people who have white robes because they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. This symbolizes believers in Jesus Christ. Later we see that we must all wash our robes in order to have eternal life in the heavenly city. Jesus Himself says this, Revelation 22, verse 14. "Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city," the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city. So, back to the big picture. The blood of the Passover lamb rescues people from death, but it does more than that. Secondly, not only does it rescue people from death, but the blood of the Passover lamb purchases people for God. Here again we find the pattern beginning in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 13, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Sanctify to me," or set apart as holy to me, "every firstborn, the offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast. It belongs to me." Down to verse 14 of the same chapter, Exodus 13. "And it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is this?' Then you shall say to him, 'With a powerful hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. It came about when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord the males, the first offspring of every womb, but every firstborn of my sons I redeem.'" See, the firstborn rescued from death by the Passover lamb now belonged in a special way to God. By redeeming them, buying them back from death, God had purchased them for himself. And this is also true of those rescued by Christ's blood. Believers in Jesus Christ form a body of people which the Bible calls the church. And notice what the Apostle Paul says about these believers in Acts 20, verse 28. They are, he says, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. God did not simply rescue the church with his own blood. He purchased it for himself with his own blood. The Apostle Peter describes our obligation to the one who redeemed us this way. 1 Peter 1, starting verse 14. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." Believers, God has purchased you from your sins by Christ's blood. Not only are you released from the penalty of your sin, you are freed and cleansed from your old sinful way of life. As 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." We have been released from slavery to sin in order to render holy service to God. As the Apostle John says in Revelation 1, verse 5 and 6, "To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Again, we find these words in Revelation 5 addressed to Jesus Christ as the Lamb. Revelation 5, starting verse 9, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals,'" that is, to accomplish God's purposes on the earth, "'for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.'" Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is worthy of our worshipful service. If you have been delivered from sin and death, it is because he purchased you at the cost of his own blood. So what's the point? First, if you have not done so, wash your robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. This is not about being good enough for God or even your faith being good enough for him. or looking back to see if in the past it was good enough. This is all about Jesus Christ and simply focusing on Him, trusting in Him alone to make you right with God. Believe in Jesus Christ as the one who can save you from your sin and the death it brings. He's able and He's willing. That's why He came, to save sinners like you. He said, I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Find forgiveness and cleansing with God through His crucified Son. God loved the sinful world in such a way that He gave even His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God reaches out to you in love. Jesus Christ died in love for sinners. He is not going to begrudge you the benefits of His death. But you must come to Him in faith, rejecting your own sinful ways of living and your own sinful ways of trying to make yourself right with God. You must come to Him, throw yourself on Him, and let Him be your all in all with God. If you need further help in thinking through these matters or knowing how to know if I have believed in Jesus for salvation, how do I know if I'm truly right with God for eternity, please contact us through our church website, glencolinbaptist.org, or through this Facebook page. There's contact info on our website. You can contact me as the pastor. We would love to speak to you about this, but this is ultimately not about our church. This is about you and Jesus Christ. Second, those of you who have committed to yourselves to Christ in faith must understand that He has purchased you with His blood. You are not your own. Good Friday is good because your life can now be lived for your Savior. So believers, let's live life that way, not just on Good Friday. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You for being that spotless, flawless Lamb of God who silently went to Your death in our place, willingly. Thank You that those of us who know You through faith have the assurance of sins forgiven, of eternal life with God, and not just the freedom from death, but the awesome eternal privilege of being in harmony and communion and fellowship with God the Father and with You. Help us not to take that for granted. Help us to not long for a life that's actually alienated from You, but help us to long for You and for a relationship with You with no sin barring the way. Lord, if there are those watching who do not know Jesus Christ through faith and who are not reconciled to You through Christ, we ask that they would fear death without Christ. That they would properly fear You who can destroy both body and soul in hell. May they run to Jesus Christ and be free of the fear of death and free from the bondage to sin through the blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ, which cleanses from all sin. We pray this in His name. Amen.